Hi, I'm Keith the Critic, and this is The Aisle Seat. I got the superstar, Kim Schultz, with me. How are you, Kim?
I am doing awesome. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
I can't believe it's already another week. Like, this time just flies by. It's like, and it's another Wednesday.
Yeah, you know what? And I, you know me, I just love reviewing, even if the movies are terrible. I tell you what, I review some terrible movies, but I love sports and I love movies. So
that's right.
Yeah. Now, of course, Derek the Toy Maker Neil is still waiting for Joanna and him to have that baby.
Oh, my.
Yeah, maybe she'll have the baby while we're still on the air. Who knows?
They tried this weekend, and it did not work. And so, we did the Rocky Horror Picture Show last week, which was absolutely amazing.
Yes,
like,
it was
so much fun. We had a lot of people here. We had a really great time, and his wife was there, you know. And yeah. I said, you know, October 22nd is a pretty good date. And she's like, nope, we're having it this weekend. So then today she posted on social media. She's like, I guess we're waiting until the 21st. I'm like, the October 22nd is still a really good date. And then she goes, it's just being stubborn. And I said, people born in Kimtober are stubborn.
Yeah, I wonder who's very stubborn. Oh,
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Maybe me.
But I'm telling you what, man. Because I talked to Derek last Thursday. When we had Rocky Horror Picture Show. And he said, well, we're going in. Tomorrow or on Saturday, she's going to be induced and all that, and I'll let you know. And so I called him. I texted him on Monday. I said, "Does she have the baby or not?" and nope, they didn't. And you know, it's just like, oh my God. You know, I think I'm more. I don't know. I'm not more stressed than Joanna or Derek, but
no.
Yeah, but hey, we've had kids, man.
Right. I've been watching. I was like, this is weird. Like, there's not even a picture. And then I saw that, and I was like, oh, poor girl. Like,
oh my God. I know. I'm just like, oh my God.
Oh.
All right. First off, The Kissing Booth, Part 3 on Netflix. Okay, it's summer before Elle heads off to college, and she has a big decision to make. Now, she already has a scholarship to go to Berkeley, and that's where her best friend Lee, and they decided, well, we'll just go to college together and all that. And so that was all settled in the spring, but she was waiting for a big time phone call from Harvard. And she finally got accepted to go to Harvard, and she's going to go back east, and she's going to move in with Noah, her boyfriend. So that's all looking good. And once Lee finds out about all this, he gets so upset, and he just... You know, he's so upset. So when Elle and him discovered the bucket lifts they made out when they were just little kids, he decides for her to go ahead and go to Harvard, but he wanted to do, they had like a bucket list that they made years ago. So... Lee wants him and Elle to do the entire bucket list, and so that's the story of that. So there's all kinds of stuff that goes on in this movie, and I just thought I love this movie, except for the end, I didn't like that, and also the hair of Joey King, I was just like, oh my God, that that was just 6 years later, and I was like,
right.
Oh my God, no. But I loved a lot of the parts. I love this movie, but I can't rate it. You know, some parts of this movie were good, and then when she got her hair done and all that stuff, that wasn't good. And I, you know, there's parts of this movie I can't get over her hair.
funny.
I watched it with Melissa, and she goes, "What the hell happened to her hair?" And that was not good. And there's parts of this movie that were, not good as well. But overall, I got to give this movie 2.5 out of 4 stars. I thought there was a lot of good parts of this movie. But I thought some of these parts wasn't as good as the first two movies, but I thought were very good. And I just kind of thought, you know, I think it's time to end this series, you know.
Right.
And, you know, but I like parts of this and other parts I didn't care for. It's 2.5 out of 4 stars for me. Kim, what do you think?
Well, you know, first of all, this is a book. So this is the end. This is a book. So you can tell that it's a series. Yeah. This is one of my favorites. I love these. This is like in the 80s era. These are kind of the Pretty in Pinks and the 16 Candles. Ones. I really enjoy these. And so when you know, I got to watch it for like the third time, it might even be the fourth time. I don't know. I really do. Like, I watch all three of them because they kind of go together. Like in the background a lot. Yeah. So there's just a couple things, like this whole entire franchise that I had problems with that I had to kind of, you know, walk myself through it. First of all, Noah Flynn is this big, tough, popular guy. And of course, L is, you know, the little girl, and, you know, and he's the best friend with Lee, and then falls in love with the brother, blah, blah, blah. And we
also
get that
from a Brainiac too.
Right. Well, she's all about the video games, and it's a very fun story. But what I don't enjoy is like how they have to make Noah be out such a dick. Like, you've got Marco that comes into it. He comes into the second show, and of course that's the love interest to push people away. And once again, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, young girl, you've got this really hot, perfect guy. And then you're going to go over here, and you know how they try to, in books, make the conflict, and then so they have to make him out to be a bad guy. And in this one, it's like the whole entire time you think everything is going good, and then, you know, the way it ends is the way it ends.
Right.
So it was really hard, and then I just kept thinking, you know, no, I guess they have to make him out to be an asshole even a little bit more than just normal, like emphasize it, I think, so that you understand the struggles, so that he doesn't just go, oh, I don't really care about that. I mean, but holding things that were so little so much, those are things that bother me. So that was like the conflict. As for her hair at the end, I thought it was hilarious that they tried to actually believe that that was what some 24-year-old would look like. Like, they tried to age her into like she was 52 years old. Like, it's like they went away and the hair was so she could come back to be this very sophisticated, you know, person. But what really got me was when, you know, at the very end, they're at the carnival, you know, by the kissing booth, and the brother Lee and Noah, they come up and they act as if they haven't seen each other. And I'm like, did you not celebrate holidays with each other? Yeah. Like, that didn't make any sense to me. It's like, you had to have seen each other. And then if Elle's family was so close, then why at no point during 6 years did you not go back and celebrate any of the holidays that you celebrated your entire life?
She just went to USC.
I know. And like Noah didn't come back from Harvard ever. You didn't see him. So those are the things, because my brain goes in into overload of like, that doesn't make any sense. It's, but they try to be like, they hadn't seen each other in 6 years. And like, even Lee, and I'm thinking, they're brothers. They literally have seen each other, probably saw each other 20 minutes ago when they left the house. Like, they stayed at the same house. I really didn't get it. So, but besides that, I'm telling you, Molly Ringwald is in this show. She's great. She plays the mother of the Noah and Lee. I loved all of the characters. I loved the bucket list. I love the change. How people really want everything to stay the same, but as you get older, the sad part is that it changes. And this show really does show how when you get older, you can't go back. They showed the toys that they played with when they were kids. Yeah. So it was just a really good show. I'd say 3 out of 4 stars. I watch this. I'm just addicted to this as one of my go-to. I don't want to have to think about it, and if I fall asleep, I don't have to keep watching this one because I literally have seen it so many times. But it's a great fun show for the family. It's a kid show. It's one of those wholesome shows that there's really not a lot of bad stuff in there for you to see. You know, maybe like elementary school and little children are not going to care about this one, but it's got a good story. And the ending, and you say you didn't like it.
The ending
leaves it up to your own imagination. So you need to get a better imagination, because my imagination was like, got it. Because you have to remember, in number one, when he goes up to go to college, does he turn around?
Yeah.
No.
That's right, he didn't.
He doesn't turn around.
This movie, that's right.
So that whole thing is back to the very first one when he goes off, when he leaves for college for the first year, and she's standing there, and he just stops, and then he keeps walking. And this time, I'm not saying what happens because you don't want to ruin everything, but those are the things you have to really pay attention to, because that would make the ending seem more, it makes more sense to you. So,
Oh, go ahead.
I said 3 out of 4 stars.
Okay, Noah's enemy in this movie. Why was he even in this movie? There's no reason for him to be in this
It's that antagonist. You have to have the antagonist part of it.
I don't know. I say I saw enough of him in part two. You know? That was it. I thought I was done with him.
And yet we were not.
No, we were not. But you know what? There was a lot of really good points in this movie.
Yeah, it was good.
I love Molly Ringwald. She's a mom. And I was just like, oh my God.
You're old. This can't help it. This is what happens.
Yeah, I know. But I was just like, oh my God, Marley Ringwald has 2 kids in her real life too, and I'm.
And she's
like,
53 years old.
Oh my God! Oh Jesus! I don't even want to hear that.
That's awesome.
But you know what? Like, this is a good. This is like you said. This is a good. Movie that you can watch with your family and all that stuff. You know, it wasn't as good as the first two.
No.
Yeah, it wasn't, but you know.
But it's an ending. The other one is exciting because you're doing, and this is trying to figure out how to end it. And like I said, they ended however you almost get to pick your own ending for this movie.
Yeah. Okay. Next up, The Donut King on Hulu. Okay, this is a documentary about Ted Nivoy. He came from Cambodia, and he moves his family to California and all that. And you hear about them having to stay, in somewhere in California that holds all the refugees and all that stuff, you know. And this is he was working as a janitor and other jobs, and then he came across going and selling donuts and all that, And this is a story about faith and love and survival and hard knocks. And this movie is very entertaining. It's got some, he becomes the donut king of California. He owns, many donut shops in California. And Dunkin' Donuts and
Winchell's.
Winchell's Donuts couldn't even have a business in that area anymore. And I just thought that everybody, other refugees come from Cambodia, and they all came to meet with his family and all that. And I thought that part of the story was very good. And because you learn a lot about the immigration system, and I just thought this was there's some fantastic parts of this movie, and then there's some other stuff that that Ted does in his real life when he comes back that wasn't that good, and I just thought this movie was so good, so entertaining. There's so he put Winchell's out of business. He put Dunkin' Donuts out of business. And this was back in the 70s and part of the 80s and all that. And that was kind of a nice throwback. And I just thought this movie was very good, very entertaining. And this is I was gonna have us all review this movie like 3 weeks ago or something like that. This movie is very good, and you learn a lot about the immigration business, and I just thought this movie was so good. So you learn a lot about this movie. So I'm going to give this movie 3.5 out of 4 stars. I would watch this with your family. I just thought this movie is excellent, and you learn a lot about other countries, about Cambodia, and how tragic that was in those days, man, and it still is tragic. I just thought this movie was excellent, and I can't recommend you guys watch this so much. It's so good. Kim, what do you think?
Okay, so first of all, do not watch this movie. This is a warning. Do not watch this movie unless you have donuts at your house. Because all it does is you just want donuts. And then you're just eating every crappy thing in the house, which is what I did because I'm like, I need a donut. Like, how am I going to make a donut? I need donuts and I need them now. And I'm thinking, oh, we're going down to Branson in in a month from now. And there's a Hertz Donuts. I'm going to eat every donut in the store because I need a flipping donut. Yeah. Because it's just donut after donut after donut. This story is incredible about this. I love the documentaries. You know that I love documentaries.
I love them too.
The story about Ted was incredible, and about how the names came about, how they changed their name, the rise. And I was sitting there and I'm halfway through it and I was like, you know what? It's so nice to just watch a documentary where, you know, like it's not a sad one. And then boom, sad. And I was like, mother jumper, come on.
Yeah.
But, you know, like the rise and fall, and it makes you think so much about how you do life. And I have literally known people in other industries, personal friends of mine, that have built multi-million dollar businesses and have failed due to different things that have happened in their life. And this guy had everything he ever wanted, and he just didn't understand the importance of not doing what he did. And I'm definitely not going to tell you what he does, but you have to go watch this movie. It was so incredible. This man goes and starts working for Winchell's Donuts over on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And on, no, West Coast. The West Coast. East Coast was Dunkin' Donuts. And they started building themselves towards the middle. And if you remember back in our days, back in the 80s, Dunkin' Donuts was everywhere. And then all of a sudden, Dunkin' Donuts disappeared. And it went, all the Dunkin' Donuts in our state went into being owned by immigrants.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, now they're popping back up again, and they literally pop up a block from any mom and pop donut shop.
Yes.
Like, and even in the movie, they were talking about how the Dunkin' Donuts opened up across the street of this little donut shop, and they just thought, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. And it was the busiest day they ever had because the local people were like, yeah, screw Dunkin' Donuts. We're going to support you, and we're not going to go for them. Now, mind you, at 11 o'clock at night, if they're 24-hour drive-through, they'll probably go there because most mom and pa's close like at 2 p.m. So yeah. Dunkin' Donuts might get your late afternoon craving. Yeah. But reality is this was such a good movie. Down in Dallas, where I travel all the time, there is literally a donut shop. I come back to Dallas in November, but there's literally a donut shop almost in every little shopping center. Within like 4 miles, there's like 5 little donut shops. And they're just little donut shops that require just a few amount of people to come in. They're not huge. They know what they need to do. And whenever we go into them, they always have immigrants that have come over here. And a donut shop this makes so much more sense to me now. Like, it makes so much more sense to me of who owns what and why they own it, how they own it. These documentaries are amazing, but I'm telling you, if you do not have a donut or donuts around you while you're watching this, you're going to go into this craving of a donut. And I'm still, like, I'm looking at a picture of it right now, and I'm like, I need that donut. It's the size of a face, and I need the donut. So definitely go watch this movie. I would have to say, I would give it 3 out of 4 stars.
I tell you what, this, you learn so much about everything the Donut King did. And you got to watch this and you'll understand what we're
It's honestly a very educational. It's something that you don't think about, that you notice, that you discuss, but that you really don't have a clue. And this guy was a millionaire.
Oh,
like,
my God.
He was making a profit of like $20,000. A month in some stores, and then he had like 57 stores and 70 stores, and he just was everywhere. And then you do have to watch it. It is something that anybody can watch, because I'm pretty sure everybody eats donuts.
You know what though, man? I started thinking about having donuts, and I've watched this movie twice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God. Does anybody have a donut?
There you go. That's exactly. I did. Like, I was up, like, walking around going, I need, what is something that's even like a donut?
Yeah, I know. I was just like, oh my God.
It's crazy.
Is there any donuts?
Hey, for our next movie, we're going to try something different here. I'm going to see if this is going to work, and we don't know if it does exactly. But I want to welcome my stand-in replacement for this next movie. So, Keith, I want to introduce you to my brother, Chris. Chris, are you here?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right, great.
All right. It's a little echoey, but he doesn't have headphones, and this is new for us. This was like 20 minutes ago I called him, and I'm like, he went to the movie last night to see this, and we all know Kim did not see this. So,
You know what? Here's the bottom line, Kim. Mm-hmm. How come you don't like horror movies? I know.
Don't even go there. So anyway,
okay, first of all, let me say, I think you shouldn't have invited me on this show and then talk about all these donuts and then not actually have donuts ready for me. That's cruel. That's really cruel. I mean, especially how much you're paying me to do this review. I mean, I should have gotten donuts.
Oh, good. I'm telling you, you got to go watch The Donut King. It's an incredible, it's Incredibles movie. But I'm telling you, do it. Do not do it without donuts. It's,
dang.
It's hard.
I'm saying the D word.
Okay. We're going to review Halloween Kills. It's on Peacock. Yes. And then it's also at the movie theaters, which I love going to the movie theaters since I've been alive. Okay, I've been a film critic now for 32 years, and I love Halloween Kills because it's such a great horror movie. Now, there are so many scenes of amazing scenes of and brutal scenes in these movies, but I loved every second of this movie because I judge every movie, no matter what the genre is. It can be an action, a comedy, horror, documentary, or whatever. Because if it's a good movie, I'm going to tell you it's a good movie. And this movie is awesome. Now, David Gordon Green did an amazing job at directing, and I thought the script was well written as well. And also, I love the fact that Michael Myers has amazing kills in this movie, and he's non-apologetic as a killer. And I like that part of this. And also, they brought back Charles Seifert's Nancy Stevens, Kyle Richards, and all that. And I just thought this movie was so good because they brought in characters from the first two Halloween movies, the original Halloween movies, not the Rob Zombie Halloween movies. And I just thought that was a good part of this story as well. And also Jamie Lee Curtis and Julie Greer and Eddie Machitak, they're all amazing. And they play these characters so good. And also Jamie Lee Curtis, and I've loved her since her first movie she was ever in. And I loved her in the first Halloween. And she's made so many great movies. No matter if the movie is okay, she's always is kind of a standout because I just like her, how her performance is always good. And she plays Laurie Strode in the first Halloween, and she plays Laurie Strode now. And you see how her face and she's been wounded so many times by Michael Myers and all that. But now she stands, she's always stood up to Michael Myers. And this in this movie, she's just amazing in this movie. I can't tell you how good this movie is because I thought it was fantastic. And I'm going to give this movie probably 3.5 out of 4 stars. This is now, is this for kids? No, it's not for kids. And not it's rated R. So you got to be prepared. It's rated R and it's very, very violent. You know, and that was good. I mean, it wasn't good, but you know what I mean.
Nothing better than a few murders.
Oh, yeah. You know what? But I just love this movie. I love Jamie Lee Curtis. I love the cast from the first two Halloweens and everything. And the next Halloween comes in next year. And I can't tell you how great this movie is. You can watch it on Peacock TV, and you can also go to the theater, watch it at the theater, because if you see it on the big screen, you'll love it even more. And I even watched it once on Peacock, and that's just, it's not as good, but it's still good. But I just, this movie is great. I'm going to give this movie 3.5 out of 4 stars. Sorry. This movie is great. Kim, I love horror movies. You know that.
I do. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. I think it's my empathy. Like I'm too I go with the victims, and I just don't enjoy that. I just don't enjoy. I don't enjoy the scare, the fright, and it just it bothers me. So yeah, I'm gonna have to pass on this one. But that is why I brought in my stunt double. Because
Chris,
we were.
What do you think fearless. Of this movie?
Okay, so I'm gonna preface this. You know, Kim's saying she doesn't like that type of movie. I love the ability to look at a movie and see how it's made. Now, for a horror movie, I was born on Friday the 13th in October, the year that Halloween came out.
Yes.
So, you know, you look at that, and if that doesn't qualify me, I guess I should get a badge for this movie, right?
Hold on just a second. When Christopher was a little child, was a baby, and he would get up in the middle of the night, and we don't know how this would happen, and you would go in, and he'd be watching Poltergeist.
It was my favorite movie. Yeah.
Was his favorite movie. Yeah. And I'm talking when he was 3 years old. We're not talking like a teenager.
I had like a little crush on Carol Ann. Like that was like the thing. We were about the same age, you know. Yeah.
He did. You would hear the TV on at 3 o'clock in the morning and you'd get up and there'd be Chris with his little sitting in front of the TV watching. Like, how do you even know Poltergeist is on, you creepy kid?
Now, did you join in with them on the showing of Poltergeist?
I actually enjoyed Poltergeist because Poltergeist isn't a slash and bash. I don't mind ghosts and stuff like that. I can handle that. I just don't. I'm just like tired of Jason. Like, oh, he's still alive? He's still going to kill more people? And I didn't get it. So anyway, Jason, go ahead, Chris.
You know,
go ahead,
so Chris. That's, I think, you know, the film itself, when you're talking about Halloween, so it's just this iconic franchise that so many people have grown up with, and each one of them has been coming out over the years, and a different group has their own, kind of like James Bond. You know, depending on when you were born, you have your very first one is the best one with Halloween's, right? That, at least that's what I'm seeing. Nothing will ever compare to the original, but as you look at all of the series and all this franchise that's kind of where you go now, if you have followed that and you've been hoping that, you know, you were going to get some kind of resolution that Michael Myers was going to die, without saying too much, I'm just going to say you're going to be disappointed. So if that were the case, I would give you, you're going to be mad. You're going to stomp your feet at the end. You know, if you're looking for resolution, you're going to be pissed. But if you're going to look and see about the nostalgia of, you know, especially after everything, so much in the world has changed because of the pandemic and all of this. And we're looking at what the world is like now. We're looking at like seeing it post that with a, you know, a nostalgic horror movie. There's like for horror fans, I think there's like a whoobie, a little protective blanket that's like something new that I love has come out, even if it is slashing and some of the most, you know, violent scenes you've ever seen.
Oh yeah, it's just something very violent. You're right.
If you are going to see the special effects of how your favorite franchise has used today's technology to give you a more gory experience each time, you're going to give this thing a, you know, 4 out of 4. You know, if you're looking for resolutions, you're going to get a 1 out of 4. Right?
Yes.
It's just great. It was great to see.
Yeah, because you know what? And then the last Halloween with Jamie Lee Curtis is good. It's going to come out next October. And that's the final one that Jamie Lee Curtis said she's going to be a part of, because I think her acting in any role she plays in is fantastic. And their first role, I think, was a movie before Halloween. But the first Halloween, you see how much she's grown, and now she thinks a lot like Michael Myers does. She wants just to kill him, you know. Yeah. And that's the bottom line. But you know, but I just thought this movie, and also Charles Seifert, Kyle Richards, and Nancy Stevens are in this movie, and I was just like, oh my god, terrific, you know. Yeah,
absolutely. The nostalgia is great.
What is
the nostalgia of it all is great.
Oh yes, I
think that was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it really took you back, you know.
It did, yeah. It took me way back. When I first saw Star Wars in 1977, that was what made me want to get into movies. I've always loved movies. And then when I saw the first Halloween in
78.
That made me want to get into movies. And I love sports and I love movies. So there you
well,
go.
Well, Jamie Lee.
I can't do sports anymore.
Jamie Lee Curtis had kind of the same thing. She starred in, or she played the girl in the dressing room in Quincy MD in 1977. That was her very first appearance, is the girl in the dressing room. Then she played Mary on Hardy Boys, Columbo. She was a waitress. She was in Operation Petticoat. And then Charlie's Angels, but her very first movie was Halloween in 1978.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. You know, that's amazing, though, man. Because then if you haven't watched it, by the way, the first five Halloweens are out on being released on 4K and Blu-ray in the same package. So. Yeah, I'm going to buy those. So, you know.
Of course you are.
Yeah, of course, but you know,
I'm not going to.
I don't know why, you know.
I just got through last Halloween. I watched the first Halloween with a group of people, and we just made fun of it the whole time. I'm able to do that. Like, I'm able to make fun of the older movies, but this newer movie, I've heard that it has more kills in it, and I'm like,
oh God, yes, yeah. Don't take your kids to this movie if you're like. 14 or younger, don't take them.
Or 55 or younger.
Yeah. No, I would even say higher than that.
Like, yeah.
Just, oh, yeah.
It's extreme.
Yeah, it is.
That's, you're looking for extreme, and you're like, you know, you're looking for something you haven't seen before. Well, you'll see what you've seen before to a more extreme level.
Did you go to the theaters and watch this?
Yeah, I went over to B&B theaters. You know, got back one of the recliners and cranked the heat on, and just, you know, there's something about, you know, yeah, you can stream it in your living room, and that, I guess that's kind of spooky because, you know, what could be out your window, but the theater gets you with, you know, you seeing all these other people who are watching this and taking it in all at the same time, the gasps, the expressions, that part, you really do feel like you're alive and part of the film. So it's definitely something that you want to kind of, you know, you're going to enjoy it if you're watching at home for that reason, but you're really going to enjoy it if you have the opportunity to see it in a theater.
Hey, Chris, do they have the big popcorns and the big Halloween drinks at B&B theaters?
Or do you know? They have. So what I did is they have a deal that you can, if you're a member with them, they had $5 tickets on Tuesdays. And this happened to be, you know, the deal with, you know, that last night.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they give you a little box of popcorn. And, you know, I go in and get like a big old frozen drink or something, you know, because I'm really a kid at heart and I have to have my icy.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm sitting there. But, you know, it's a great deal for a Tuesday night to go out and do something that doesn't break the bank and allows you to kind of see these first run features. It's super cool.
That's I
saw James Bond the week before. Yeah.
I am excited about getting back into the theaters. It's your mindset over 2020. You've got out of the routine. And so, you know, my AMC card keeps sending me messages. Hey, we'll give you free popcorn. Just come on back. And it's like, oh, yeah, I guess I should do that, huh? And you are correct. This movie, which I did not see, nor will I see, it would have to be in a movie theater. It would be a movie theater movie. You know, like some of these, the James Bonds and those big.
I mean, it's like the Rocky Horror Picture Show, right? Like, that's one of those things you want to watch with a group. At this point, Halloween has become that kind of cult classic that you want to watch it with a group. You know, you may not like be throwing knives at the screen, but you know, you're enjoying. You know, the experience with other people.
Yeah, definitely.
The experience.
I definitely agree. So I'm hoping that I can. I know Tyson and I have been talking about planning to goose some of the cheap the Tuesday night movies to go and talk about them. So hopefully I'll get
experience.
I haven't been to a movie theater since 2019. So.
You know what, though, man? I'm looking for. They were selling the big. Popcorns that has Halloween the emblem and all that, and a big drink. And I went out to the other theater and I said, hey, do you got the big popcorn, the big drinks? No, we don't have those. So I'm
wondering, it's probably AMC.
I was like, probably their brand. I'm like, oh, come on, man. But I tell you what,
that's a great theater.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yes, it is. It's a great theater. So,
yeah. Yeah. That would be my favorite.
Can you imagine? Have you done the 4DMX?
Yes. Oh, my God.
It?
Yes.
Now, I saw one of the films back there just recently with that. It was Jungle Cruise, which worked pretty good. You know,
yes.
That was a good film to see that.
Yes.
I don't know if they're putting this one in that. That might be too much. I did notice that they had, you know, James Bond last week. They did have a 4DMX version of that out, but I didn't see Halloween with that. I don't know if that's something
because
to do or not.
I got in for free, of course, but I went over there and they were showing it in they were just showing it in regular theaters, but there was like four of them showing the same movie, Halloween Kills, and I was like, okay, what? But James Bond was on the big screen, and I get that, but but I was just like, oh man. So
also a good one if you're into that nostalgia franchise, you know.
Yeah,
again, something that's new that's coming back that's not the slasher basher, you know.
Yeah,
I would give, if you're looking for that experience with Bond, I'd give that a four as well.
But also a couple of weeks ago I took Melissa and I went and saw the first Dracula and the first Frankenstein, and Bela Lugosi, Boris Karloff, and there's nothing better than watching some classic horror movies, you know, because Dracula is so creepy, and there's very little talking in that movie, and, you know, Boris Karloff playing Frankenstein, I was just like, you know, Kim, would you go see those two movies?
Yeah, I would go see them. I like all the old movies. Those movies are not my problem. My problem are the stupidity of people running outside in their t-shirt when they hear a noise to go check on something. I can't. Can't do that. It's like, oh, you hear a scream? Let's go investigate. Let's go look at that. Let's go see what happened.
They did have a trailer for the new Scream coming out there.
Tell you what, I saw that right before they showed Halloween.
Yep, that's an interesting trailer. Looks like they could go some different, you know.
Oh my God, yes. I was just like, yes.
Uh-huh.
Scream. But you know what? I like that they're bringing in Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, David Arquette, the people from the original movie, and they're killing, I won't tell you who they're going to do, but, you know. But anyways, but, yeah. Okay.
Again, it's good to see these guys on screen again. You know, it's like, oh, these are the ones that aren't dead still. Like, it's great.
Yeah. Right. You know?
They survived. Congrats. It's like the Hunger Games tribute. Like, hey, there you go. We all made it.
You made it to level 7.
Yeah.
Okay, now next week we're going to review all The Boys, Always and Forever.
All the Boys I Loved.
Yeah, Always and Forever on Netflix. We're going to review Rita Romero and this girl who just decided to go for it on Netflix. And we're going to review Who Be Halloween on Netflix. If you haven't watched this movie, it's a great movie, and Kim likes this movie.
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm rewatching it. I watched it last year, but I am in the process of rewatching this one. It's a little hard for me because I make fun of him, but all in all, it was a good show.
Yeah, it's a good show, man. They got all the characters from past Adam Sandler movies as well, including Kevin James, and
it's a good one.
Yeah.
Have you watched Clickbait yet?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay, we need to schedule that because I just finished that one. I really would like for, because it's like a mini series, so it's not a. It takes you have to watch like eight, but I want to review that because I just watched it, and I think that would be a great one. But it'd be a series, so takes a while.
And we'll do that maybe not next week, but maybe the following week we can review all that as well.
You need to watch that one.
Yeah, oh, it's on my list. Yes, yeah. I got, you know me, I got a ton of movies I need to watch, and I haven't even watched them yet.
Well, that's because you watched some of them six times, so you got to.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I want to thank I want to thank Chris for jumping in here, Chris. Because it would have just been me saying no. And of course,
Derek, the only version of Halloween that I know you would like is if it was like Hallmark Halloween. leave a tasteful greeting card every time he's sad or something.
Exactly.
That'd be Kim's version. That's the only thing she likes.
Put Keanu Reeves in it or Bradley Cooper, and I might.
I'm terrified. If Hollywood made you a film producer, I'm terrified of what would come.
Okay. By the way, I love Hallmark movies too. I love The Good Witch.
Oh, yeah, that's good too. Keith likes them all. Keith likes them all. He'll watch anything.
Yeah, God. Even if it's a crappy movie, and we review some crappy movies.
We do.
Oh my God! So,
but yeah. I have to say that Donut King, it's a must watch, and of course The Kissing Booth. It's just a teen drama, 3-part movie, and it is totally worth it. It's like a middle school kid would, like the girls would be like, oh my God, he's so cute.
The first two I gave 3 stars to, and then I thought this is going to be just as good. Wow. It was good, but it wasn't 3 stars.
It's hard when you meet the characters. I mean, the third book is always the hardest one because it's the person is like, the person that's writing, it's like, do I want to write another one or do I just want to end this one? Let's end it. And she ended it, but she didn't end it for good because it could still go on, but it would lose the kids in high school, and it would move it up to an adult movie. So you would have a whole different genre of people watching it because, you know, teenagers don't want to watch 27-year-olds and 30-year-olds. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. She could write something else that took these characters another way, but I really doubt it. I think she ended it of, you think about how you want it to end, and you evidently, you know, wanted it to suck, and I had a really great ending in my head, so.
You know what? Because I just wanted to, here's what I was hoping. I was hoping those two were going to stay together and get back together and all that stuff.
But you don't know what happened. Like you can't say what happened, but I know what happened. Don't tell people what happened.
I'm not gonna tell anybody.
Yeah, you still have Marco. You never know where Marco is. I mean, is she a cheater?
Yeah, I was like, wow.
Nah, it's not that way. It's a good fun show. So anyway, right. But yep, we did some good ones this week.
You betcha. So. All right. Superstar Kim Schultz, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me again.
All right. And Derek, the toy maker, Neil, has been replaced by...
Chris Schultz.
There we go.
Chris Schultz. And I don't know. He is. I don't know. What could we call Chris? He is a... Chris,
just call me a dream maker.
Dream maker. There you go. Chris is the dream maker. That is exactly what he is. So Chris, the dream maker, Schultz, for joining us as a special guest.
Yeah.
You're welcome anytime.
it's great to be here. Thank you.
Last week we have Dylan, the newsmaker.
That's right.
And Pringle with us. So there we go.
Perfect.
Got the newsmaker, the toy maker, the dream maker, and a freaking superstar. So,
and I'm Keith the Critic, and this is the Aisle Seat.